What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
Today, the Ninth Circuit of Appeals said to our family and millions of Americans that we are equal under the law.
The dissenting opinion by Judge Smith said very clearly that there is a very rational and legitimate government reason for the protection of marriage between only a man and a woman.
This is about whether the government of the United States should have the power to go in and tell a faith-based organization that they have to pay for something that they teach their members shouldn't be doing. It's that simple.
We want to work with organizations for the next year to help them deal with the implementation of the policy. But the decision has been made, and it was made after careful consideration.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
I often wonder what it must have been like, a difficult life, to say the least, for those who traveled with St. Paul. Paul describes his missionary journeys as fraught with danger and all sorts of hardship, imprisoned, beaten, put on trial, shipwrecked more than once, life in danger, whether he was on land or sea. What was it like to travel with him? And he has some of those companions that go with him. We know their names, and Apollos and Barnabas, and the church will be remembering Silas, who's one of those missionary companions of St. Paul. There's more to Silas than meets the eyes, more than just to tag along with St. Paul. We're going to find out about him in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, February the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. A little bit later, Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We'll be talking about some of the Bible passages used by President Barack Obama during last week's National Prayer Breakfast. Dr. Curtis Giese joins us to talk about Silas. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you so much. An honor to be with you.
We often hear about these people who attended with Paul at various times during his missionary journeys, Silas among them. What were these missionary journeys like? What would it have been like to travel and to be alongside St. Paul during one of these journeys?
There never would have been a boring day whatsoever, most likely never a day the same. They went to many various cities, various cultures, and they encountered a variety of different people and circumstances. It's very much the case we can give thanks for the earthly gifts of Silas and also Paul, of course, to present this heavenly message, because they had to change from going to the synagogues in various cities and speaking to those of Jewish Israelite background and speaking in other contexts to those of more so Greco-Roman, secular Gentile background, and they had to be very much on their feet to use their God-given gifts in these various circumstances. Silas was especially one who is gifted with oratory skill to speak to both to a Jewish as well as to a Gentile background. So he very much had to use his God-given gifts of oratory skill to speak in such settings. And very much also travel was an issue. They traveled an incredible distance during the second missionary journey on which Silas accompanied Paul. So that's an issue also. Oh, they befriended many people, so many times of wonderful Christian fellowship, for example, with Lydia, a wonderful woman in Philippi whom they came to know and received her hospitality. They also had to deal with imprisonment in Philippi. After a bit of difficulty that Paul and Silas encountered, they were thrown into prison after being beaten. So just a wide variety of circumstances, and the Lord is with them during this time to keep them safe and to spread the good news of our Lord.
Where do we first encounter Silas in the New Testament?
It's actually in Acts chapter 15. Now, this is after the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. They had visited areas, particularly in present-day Turkey. Now, some Judaizers, that is, some Jewish Christians who were overly emphasizing Jewish rituals, they went back to those places and were saying that Paul did not speak the full message that they need to take to themselves, that they need to follow Jewish rituals, especially circumcision, in order to be Christian, in order to be saved. And, of course, that's an improper mixing of law and gospel. So we come to the situation of the Jerusalem Council that speaks to that. And the Jerusalem Council, especially led by James and Peter, decided to write a letter to Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, to these affected areas, and to send Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas. These were leaders from the Jerusalem congregation, and to send them this letter, and also Paul and Barnabas, to go back to these congregations. Actually, this went primarily first to Antioch, and to deliver this letter that said, indeed, what is important is the message of Christ, and beyond that, having been received into his kingdom by grace, it's appropriate to abstain from some of the offensive things in the surroundings, things offensive to those of Jewish background and also Gentile background. And they went to Antioch with this letter, and the people heard this message, and they were encouraged by Judas, Silas, Paul, and Barnabas as they spent time there to speak the message of Christ and the freedom of that gift in Christ, and it was received with much joy.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago probably the most famous Paul and Silas story, and that has to do with their beating and their imprisonment. Tell us that story.
Yeah, that was actually in Philippi. And there is mentioned they came to meet Lydia, and they received her hospitality. And they were speaking the message of Christ in Philippi. And there was a female slave who had a spirit by which she could predict the future. And she earned a great deal of money for those who owned her as a slave. And the servant girl kept on saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And she kept this up for many days, and this became so annoying to Paul that he drove the spirit out. And these slave owners then started saying negative things against Paul and Silas, that these men are throwing our city into uproar, and that caused the officials to arrest and beat Paul and Silas. And they were thrown into prison that night. Then, suddenly, there's a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison doors shook, and then suddenly all the doors opened, and the jailer was concerned that everybody would be running away, and he'd be held responsible. But Paul said, "Do not worry, we're all here." So Paul and Silas were together in that situation. They were beaten together, and then in prison, and in this great prison situation, and the jailer was brought to Christ and his family as well, and he took care of Paul and Silas. But then toward the end there, Paul and Silas indicated, and this is important about Silas, that Silas was also a Roman citizen, just like Paul. And so they spoke up about this situation, and some of the local officials were concerned about this, and they kindly escorted Paul and Silas, asking them to leave the city. And they went to Lydia's house and then went on from there to Thessalonica.
There is continued mention of him here and there. He gets mentioned also in several of Paul's epistles, and actually in Peter's epistle as well. Do we know anything more about his connection to St. Peter than that apparently Peter sent one of his letters, I believe his first letter, by the hand of Silas, in that case called Silvanus?
Right. Now, as mentioned, both Judas and Silas were leading members of the Jerusalem church, emissaries, and actually they're also called prophets, and might also be the case that they're referred to as apostles. Now, coming from the Jerusalem congregation, they likely would have known Peter. Silas, especially speaking here, he would have known Peter most likely, so they probably had some sort of working relationship. And when Peter was inspired by God to write his first epistle, he did it apparently with the help of Silas. Now, it's debated what sort of influence, what sort of effect that had on the writing of the letter. Obviously, Peter gets the credit. He was inspired by God to do so, but with the help of Silas as well. There is a difference between 1 Peter and 2 Peter in the way that the language is used. 1 Peter is a more polished, more flowing, more artistic and polished presentation of the Greek language. In contrast, 2 Peter is a bit more cumbersome in its use of Greek, so it's often said that part of that difference was what Silas had, what he brought to bear in that. He's known to have great oratory skill, and here apparently literary skill as well, and it seems that he assisted Peter in the composition of this letter. And also, for the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it comes from Paul, Timothy, and Silas.
So we can, I think we talked about Timothy some weeks back with another guest, and the guest suggested that when Timothy's name appears alongside Paul's at the beginning of a letter, that is a pretty strong indication that the letter is to be regarded as from both Paul and Timothy, that they both had a hand in its authorship. So that would that include also Silas here in the case of 1 and 2 Thessalonians?
That's certainly reasonable. If it's coming from them, it's indicative that all three had some hand in the writing of that letter, indeed.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Curtis Giese on this Thursday afternoon, February the 9th, talking about Silas. The church remembers Silas on February 10th. He's a missionary companion to St. Paul. One more question on that authorship issue, because, and it takes nothing away from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to picture Peter as the one who is dictating this letter, and Silas perhaps as the secretary writing this letter, adding to this letter his own expertise in language, that really in 1 Peter we are hearing Peter's words, but we are reading Silas's pen. We'll be right back. Dr. Curtis Giese is our guest, and then after our conclusion of our conversation on Silas, we'll go through some of the Bible passages used by President Barack Obama during last week's National Prayer Breakfast with Dr. Peter Scare. How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest issues, etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Shurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Curtis Giese is our guest from Concordia University, Texas. We're talking about Silas, the missionary companion of St. Paul. Before the break, you mentioned his hand in the authorship of some of Paul's epistles, but also of at least 1 Peter, perhaps. I'm wondering, should we picture it this way, Dr. Giese, that obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, both these men, Peter dictates, Silas is Peter's secretary, and what we're reading there is really the pen of Silas in St. Peter's first letter.
Definitely. Both would be inspired by the Holy Spirit in their work. It's a debate in the ancient Greco-Roman world, the role that a secretary would have in the writing of the letters. Some were known simply to copy and have no role. Others, it was known that they had a primary role in the writing. And some, most were likely somewhere in between. That's probably the case here with Silas as well, since there is an obvious difference between 1 and 2 Peter, yet there are many, many commonalities as well in the way that they're written. So Silas, with his known oratory skill, and here also apparently literary skill, the grace and the excellent presentation in that letter likely has a great deal to do with his hand in this as well, and likely also some content as well. So we give thanks to God for the earthly gifts that he was given to present a heavenly message as he was inspired along with Paul.
Another Silas and Timothy connection is that, at least for a brief time, they are left by Paul in Berea. Is that correct?
That is correct. There were some issues that came up along the way. There were very frequently from Jewish sources. It was in Berea, just they had come from Thessalonica. And when they land in Berea, some of the Jews from Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching there, and they started agitating the crowd and stirring up the crowd against Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, for fear especially of Paul's life, they sent him onward to Athens. That is, the Christians there in Berea, they sent him onward to Athens. But Silas and Timothy stayed there in Berea to speak the message of Christ. So they stayed there for a while, and then Paul on to Athens to speak his very famous speech in Athens at the Areopagus. And we do not hear about Silas until a bit later that he joined Paul in Corinth and spoke boldly in Corinth. And actually, in 2 Corinthians, it mentions the preaching of Silas in Corinth. So we give thanks for his role in that city as well.
We often remember Timothy and Titus as kind of figures, pastoral figures, as distinct from the apostolic figure of St. Paul or St. Peter. Could we include Silas there, that it is quite clear that he is a pastor under the apostleship of Paul, that he is one of the earliest preachers of the gospel in that official capacity along with St. Paul?
There's every indication of that. As mentioned, he is referred to as a prophet from the Jerusalem church in Acts 15. And here the word prophet emphasizes forthtelling, that is, faithful proclamation, interpretation of Holy Scripture, application of it to a certain setting. And also in Thessalonians, I forget the exact reference right now, but there Paul speaks about we apostles, and it seems that that would be from those who wrote the letter, Paul, Timothy, and Silas as well. So many scholars assume that in a wider meaning of the term apostle beyond the original 12, that Silas was included in that group of the wider appellation of apostles. So also James and Jude are referred to as apostles as well, although not of the original 12. And also, from church tradition, it's said that Silas was the first bishop in Corinth as well, another indication of him having the holy office as well. And then he's said to have died in Macedonia nearby in the year 50. So we give thanks to God for the life and ministry of Silas.
Dr. Curtis Giese is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure to serve. Thank you so much.